Hallelujah. Well, we're glad to have you with us again tonight. And we look forward to a good time. I don't know if I told you a story. I had a little story. I don't know if I told you the story or not about the Indian tribe that got a new chief. Did I tell you that story last week? I don't think so. But this Indian tribe, the old chief died, and he went off to the happy hunting ground. And they got the new chief, and one of the responsibilities of the chief was to be able to forecast what the weather was going to be, you know, for the coming winter and so forth. Was it going to be cold or mild or what? And so all the braves gathered around the chief and said, "Well, chief, what's the weather going to be?" And the chief was stuck. He didn't know. He couldn't think, how do I guess what the weather's going to be? So the only thing he could think of, he said, "All you braves go out and gather wood, and I'll see about the weather." And so while they're away gathering wood, he gets on the telephone and rings the weather service. And they say to the weather service, "What's the weather going to be this winter?" And they say, "Well, we're not sure. We think it's probably going to be cold." So about 2 weeks later, the braves come to him again and say, "Well, chief, what's the weather going to be? Is it going to be a cold winter?" And he thought, "Oh, go out and gather more wood. We're not sure yet." And so while they're gathering wood, he rings the weather service again. And they tell him, "Well, yeah, we think it's going to be a cold winter." And so 2 weeks later, this is now, we're 6 weeks into this story. And so here we are at the sixth week. They say, "Chief, well, is it going to be a cold winter or not?" And he said, "Well, you better go gather some more wood, and I'll let you know when you come back again." So while they're away, he phones the weather service again, and he says, "Is it going to be a cold winter this winter?" And they said, "Oh, yes, it's going to be very cold this winter." And then he said to the weather service, "How do you know it's going to be a cold winter?" They said, "We've seen the Indians. They're out gathering wood." The point of the story is you don't always want to believe the experts. And the devil has plenty of experts around who will try to get you to do certain things and say certain things that disagree with the Word of God. Now, if you got your Bible tonight, we're going to start with a scripture from the book of Psalms. And it's going to be Psalm 35, and we're going to read verse 27. I'll just scribble it up on the board here. Psalm 35 and 27. I've put it in my notes from a couple of other versions just to show the difference of opinion that different writers have. And the Young's Literal Translation says this: "They sing and rejoice who are desiring my righteousness, and they say continually, Jehovah is magnified, who is desiring the peace of his servant." Not a peace of his servant, but the peace of his servant. The King James Bible, of course, which most of you will have, says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." God has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now, all of you would know, if you've listened to me over the years, you know that we are no longer servants of God. We're now sons and daughters of God. So if God takes pleasure in the prosperity of the servant, how do you think he favors sons and daughters? I think he favors us highly. And I wonder, maybe many times you've heard, because I've heard it as Elizabeth and I have traveled around the world, you know, we've preached all over the place in different countries and different churches all around the place. And I just mentioned this, by the way. You may remember Thursday night a couple of weeks ago when Russell did the meeting down at Northside. I told you about the church that we'd helped establish in America, and they'd gone on. They'd now got 180 churches going from this one church. Well, I had an email this week, and they're adding one church a day. One church a day to the group of churches. And the fellow who sent me the email, he says, "I'm going to have to leave my work." He works for IBM. He says, "I'm going to have to leave work, retire early, and become the administrator for this whole church group." It's just growing and growing. And this guy who does it all is in a wheelchair. Think about that. He's now got over 200 churches, and they're adding daily. I mean, God is adding to the church daily. All right. So I guess many times, like us, you've heard things said that, you know, well, God puts you through problems because if he puts you through a problem and you get this pressure, somehow or other it improves you and you're better at the other end. Well, I want to tell you something, folks. If going through problems makes you strong, everybody out in the world who has a problem would be a spiritual giant. And they're not. They've got major dramas and problems. That's why they have places like this little hall and have all these people who come. I was looking at some of the things around there. There's so many different groups meet in this hall, and every one of them have got problems. They're here because they need help. So we need to be people then who are saying what the Bible says. Let me read that verse to you again. This is what it says. Let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So when we become servants of God and sons and daughters of the living God, we give God delight when we're blessed. He wants to bless us. I looked up this word. It says God takes pleasure in his prosperity. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. And this is what it says in the Message Bible. God is great. Everything works together for good for his servant. Everything works together for good for his servant. Everything. Even the bad things, God can turn those around and make them work for good for you. Now, God wants you as his child to win in every situation. There are times in life, and I know, look, I know most of you, and I know you've all had difficulties, you've all had problems. We've had difficulties and problems in our lives too. But I want you to know that God wants you to win in all of those situations. Do you know what the word prosperity means? Here's what it means from the original Hebrew language. It means God delights to make his friends prosperous and happy, to let them see that this is the character of God, and let them thus be led to rejoice in him forevermore. Think about that. God wants to bless his family. Just like I want to bless my family, Ian wants to bless his family, you no doubt want to bless your family. And I don't know about all of you, but I know Johnny has kids and grandkids by the score. Last time I think we talked about it, some one of your daughters had twins or was having twins, or I can't remember now.
Seven,
okay. Yeah. Just think about it. So here we are, we've got 8 grandkids and we think we're doing well, and our third child, Naomi, she hasn't started yet. And she's married 7 years and no babies on the way, but you know, I think they're just practicing more than they're... Anyway, that's another story. Praise the Lord, better not send her this tape. Yeah. We're recording. No, it's in here. It's in my pocket. Yeah. God wants us to be financially fit. He wants us to be physically fit. He wants us to be medically fit. God wants us to be fit in all areas. He wants us to be mentally fit. God wants us to be people who are fit. Fit to be used for the kingdom. Fit to be used for his service. Fit to be used in all the areas that he wants to use us in. But we don't get that way unless we spend time in the Word. We have to start and believe what the book says. We have to say what God says. And you know, most of you have read, I guess, a lot of the promises of God. I mean, how many times have you read newsletters that we've put out over the years that talk about prosperity and blessing? How many times have you heard me talk about it? We've got so many series now on CDs. If you want a list of them, I'll give them to you, because we've got teaching series on seed time and harvest. We've got the prosperity series, all those kinds of things if you're interested. We have them all on tape, but we're not putting them on CD because most people don't have tape players anymore. They've all gone to CD. Interesting stuff, isn't it? I wonder what happens when CDs don't work anymore. Anyway, that's another shot. Somebody will invent something new. But in spite of all the teaching that we've given, in spite of all the promises that you and I have read, you know, there's still people that talk to me probably almost every week. That's maybe a little stretch, but at least several times a month out of people talk to me. And, you know, they're saying things like, well, we hope that God's going to be able to do something. They don't know that he's going to be able to do it, but they're sort of hoping that maybe somehow or other he will. You see, God doesn't want you to be lying in a hospital bed where you can't go and lay hands on the sick. Think about it. If you're lying in a hospital bed, you're not out there where people are sick. You are in a place where sick people are, but if you're lying in that hospital bed, you're not doing much. Most people who go to hospital have physical health problems. That's why they go to hospital. God wants us to realize the blessing of God makes rich, and he wants us to be able, as Ian has already said, to be able to help other people. That's why we're doing these meetings on a Sunday night. We want to help you. We just want to bless you. We want to be available to you and do what we can. I'm just thinking, my mind is going back to a time when we had a church in, Russell will remember because he was there, Seaford. And it was called Southside Christian Center. And one of the many churches that we've helped get established and so forth over the years. And God spoke to me one time there about doing some things. And he said, I want you to give everybody in the congregation next week $5. And we were running about probably 80 or 100 people, I think, at that time. So I went to the bank, grandson had got nice, crisp, new $5 bills out. And the principle that God had spoken to my heart about was, give everybody $5 and let them use it and multiply it and then send it to the missionaries. So we did that. And we said, now you come up with an idea. How are you going to multiply your $5? One lady made scones. That would suit you, Catherine. One lady made scones and cakes and things and sold them, and she made some money. Another young fellow, he went out and washed cars. And they all did different things. But, you know, at the end of the time, when we'd given out about $400, I think it was, we gave out, we ended up with about $2,000 to send to missionaries. Because, see, people needed a start. And, you know, I've discovered that most people don't want a hand out. They want a hand up. They want to help. They want to be lifted up. They want to be encouraged. They don't want to be just sign on the unemployment and say, okay, well, you know, the government's got to look after me. And I've said it so many times, what are you going to do, you know, when you get to pensionable age and the government says, I'm sorry, we don't do pensions anymore. We've changed that. It's no longer, we don't give it out anymore. You got to look after yourself. So you got to learn how to make this stuff all work today, because when you need it, you know, maybe later in life, you got to have it already working for you. Don't depend on John Howard or the government. So here's a question I thought about. Where do you think God is going to get all the resources to meet all of your needs? Well, Norman, you know God's God and He's got everything belongs to Him. Well, that's true. Everything does belong to Him. But the problem is this, that most of us, by our thinking, we limit what God can do in our lives. See, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Put another one up there. Proverbs. As a man thinketh in his heart. Well, you think God can't handle it? He can't, because you think that way. But if we start to think that He can, and we start confessing that He can, then He will, and He's able to, because we're releasing Him. He's limited to what we can do and what we can say, because we are His voice here in the earth. I know people who are concerned, too, about how God is going to be able to care for them. Like I said before, we get these phone calls and we get letters from people saying, what do I do about this? How do I help this? And it's not just from, you know, this area, but we get them from all over the world, because our newsletter goes out, you know, to 86 or 88 countries, I think it is now, around the world every Monday. And a newsletter goes out and it's going to thousands and thousands of people. And Elizabeth sometimes wonder, how do I spend so much time in the office? I'm getting an average of 400 or 500 emails a day that I have to look at and say, now, what do I say to these people? In a sense, okay, and I say this carefully, in a sense, I'm pastoring thousands of people just by giving them advice and quoting scriptures to them and saying, this is what you have to do. This is the way to do it. But then every day we also get emails which say, my, that was marvelous. That was just what we needed to hear. That worked perfectly in our situation. You know, so it's a great area where we can minister to people. Some people will say, well, Norman, you know, I don't know how it's going to work next week, because after all, the stock report says such and such, and the Dow Jones has dropped, and gold price has gone down, and oil price has gone up, and you know, we don't really know what's going to happen. We see there's a drought covering some of Australia. You know, we've seen the effects of it here in Melbourne too, and there's no bananas. You know, up north, there's a big storm, and all the bananas are gone, and bananas have gone up in price. You can't get, it's all these reasons why. That has nothing to do with it. It's nothing to do with where you are today. The shortages are nothing to do with you. How can God ever supply our needs when all of these things are happening all around us? Well, He's not moved by what we see on the ground. He's only moved by what's already in His heart. Let me read some more scripture to you. Colossians 1. I'm going to read this from the Message. Colossians 1. 12 to 14. Now, you know the scriptures, because I've used them before, but I want to read them to you again. I want them to get into your thinking. Now, if you haven't got a copy of the Message, I would recommend you do get one. Eugene Peterson is a great writer, and he has written the Message Bible. What he's done is taken the King James and studied the Greek and the Hebrew and so on, and he's written a different emphasis on some things. It says the same at the end of the day. But this is Colossians 1, 12, 13, and 14 in the Message Bible. Listen to this. Thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in everything bright and beautiful that He has for us. God rescued us from dead end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son that He loves so much. The Son who's got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins which we were doomed to keep repeating. God has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of His dear Son, as the King James says, giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, for He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now what that verse really says is this, that God has taken us from one place and put us into another. He's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness. Who rules the kingdom of darkness? Satan. So He's taken us out from under the authority of darkness, and He's translated or put us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the Son of His love. So we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness. Now think about this. You are no longer, now listen to me, you're no longer Australian, you're no longer Irish, you're no longer Maltese, you're no longer Samoan, you're no longer English. Whatever your ethnic background is, you're no longer, you're not a citizen of the kingdom of God. People say to me, where are you from? I say, well, I'm Irish by birth, Australian by choice, and most people think I'm Canadian. And that's true, just because of my accent. And what that all means is this. The planet that we live on doesn't have any right to dictate to you what your standard of living is going to be or whether you need anything or not. You don't belong to this planet. You're a visitor. You're passing through. You're not going to be here. One of these days, you're going to get your spring heel boots and you're going to be gone. You know, if you understand what I mean by that, this means yes? Okay, that's fine. That means when the rapture comes, you're gone. You're out of here. We're gone. We're not sitting around. I like what Jesse Duplantis, he says, he's on the first bus and he's in the front row, seat A, 1A. He's out of here. He's not hanging around. Well, I tend to agree with him. I'm not hanging around. God's Word tells us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Anyone know what that says? Philippians 4 and 19, P-H-I-L, 4:19. My God. Who's my God? My God shall what?
Supply
what? Okay, stop there. My God shall supply how many? Okay, that's a good word. How much is all? Was that 50%? 100%. Okay, so my God shall supply all my needs. Now listen to me. How is He going to supply that? According to the stock market report? According to the economics of this earth? According to His riches in glory? How? By Christ Jesus. So where are we? We're in Christ. So therefore God is going to take care of us. So the stock market or the gold price or the oil price doesn't have anything to do with us at all. It affects us in the fact that you go to the petrol pump and you put the petrol in your car, saying you have to pay $1.29 or $1.30, whatever it is. But that really shouldn't bother you if you're not living out of this kingdom. You're living out of His kingdom. You're living out of the kingdom of the Son of His love. And when you're living in God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, there's no needs. There's no lack. God is not concerned about the price of petrol. He's not concerned about the price of gold. The Bible says the silver and the gold are His. The silver and the gold are His. There's more than enough. Elizabeth said something to me today. She said, Norman, do you realize that God owns all the gold that's already under the earth, and there's enough there for everybody in the world to be blessed and be financial? Now, you didn't get that. That one... There is already in God's supply here in the earth, not counting what's already been taken out of the earth, but what's all in the earth hidden that man doesn't yet know about. There's more than enough for Gemma and every one of us to be multimillionaires. Not just us and this little group, but everybody on the face of the earth. Think about that. I mean, that's a bit of gold, isn't it? That's a bit of silver. There's some... You know how many people are on the face of the earth today? I don't know, billions. I don't know what the world population is at the moment. Have to go on the internet and find that out, I guess. But there's enough. Now listen to this. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Again, in the Message Bible. Listen to this. God can do anything. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us deeply and gently within us. That's Ephesians 3:20 Message. I'll write it up for you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now the Amplified Bible, which some of you may have on your knee, it says it this way. Now to him who, by, in the consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far above all we can ask, all that we dare think, or infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. There's more than enough. But we limit God because we think maybe he might not do it for me. I was listening to Elizabeth, I listen to my wife a lot, you know, but I was listening to her teach a group of women 2 or 3 years ago, and she made this statement. Listen to this statement. This is what out of one of Elizabeth's messages. Our God is an extravagant father. God is extravagant. And she went on to say, just look at the wildflowers that bloom in the fields. And she related that to Ireland, to the bluebells and the daffodils and the buttercups and so forth, that she remembered as a child, fields and fields and fields of them. So the message tonight for you is, God is an extravagant God. And if you get this CD next week, in other words, the message I'm preaching now, you'll find that the CD will have a field of wildflowers all over it. Because I found one and I put it on the CD. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has scattered the wildflowers in places that nobody's ever been. Matthew 6, 28-30. This is from the Message Bible. I really got into this message this week, I know. Matthew 6, 28, Message Bible. Listen to this. All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never primp or shop. Verse 29. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look quite shabby alongside them. Verse 30. If God gives such attention to the appearance of the wildflowers, most of which are never, ever seen, don't you think he'll attend to you? He'll take pride in you and do his best for you? Hallelujah. I remember Elizabeth saying her thoughts, but she didn't have the scriptures at the time to use with it. I found the scripture to put with it. If God gives such attendance to the appearance of the wildflowers, most of which you've never seen, don't you think he'll attend to you and take pride in you and do his best for you? The Amplified Bible in verse 29 says, Jesus speaking, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his magnificence, his excellence, his dignity and grace was not arrayed like just one of these. Solomon was the richest man. You know the whole story. Sometime we may get into it. How the Queen of Sheba came. She was very rich. She came to see Solomon's glory and all his magnificence and his wealth and so forth because she had heard about it and she came, and we'll get into the story another day. See, I believe the problem is this, that most of us can only just believe that God is able to keep us alive and perhaps keep us from being hungry. Well, God might just be able to get us through to the end of the week. We don't expect him to do anything much more than that, like he does with the wildflowers. We think, well, he'll just get through. Most of us are quite happy to think he's a bit like Scrooge, really. You know, he'll give us rags and beans, and that's about it. But God wants more than that for you. You're his chosen vessel. You are a peculiar people. You are his very own children. He wants to do more than that. Listen to Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, 2, and 3. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, 2, and 3. Old Testament, Abby. Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 3. Listen to it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, 2, and 3. Guess what version this is from? The Message. It says, if you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all his commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on high, high above all the nations of the world. All these blessings will come on you and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of God, your God. God's blessing is inside the city, and God's blessing is in the country. Now, that's an old covenant promise. But, you know, Hebrews 8 and verse 6 tells us that we are new covenant people and we have promises under a better covenant. Hebrews 8, 6. He says, we live under a better covenant which is based on better promises. So we have better promises than that. Now, that's a pretty good promise, that one. He says, all these blessings will come on you. And he lists the blessings. We're not reading them tonight, but you can read Deuteronomy sometime. But that was, they were pretty good blessings. That we'd be blessed going out, we'd be blessed coming in, we'd be blessed in the store, we'd be blessed in the field, we'd be blessed here, we'd be blessed there, we'd be blessed, 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 as the song says. But you know what? For the new covenant, it's better blessings. Better blessings. Why do we still want to hang on to the old when we can have the new? It's not just enough, but we want more. We want what God wants. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17, put it up here for you, 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, God, through Paul, spoke to Timothy, and this is what he said in the Message Bible, funny enough. Tell those who are rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches that we could ever manage. Who piles on all the riches that we could ever manage. Next verse says, to do good, to be rich in helping others, and to be extravagantly generous. Just like Ian said at the beginning. To be extravagantly generous. The Amplified Bible, verse 17 says, not to set their hopes on uncertain riches, but on God who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, you remember where we started back up here in Psalm 35, verse 27? Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. What's that word? Continually. Let them say continually. Does that mean you say it today and not tomorrow? Does that mean you say it this week and not next week? No. You should be saying continually. Let God be magnified. God is taking pleasure in my prosperity. God is blessing me. And you tonight must get away from prosperity as being purely money. It's not. It's all areas of your life. It includes money. But you need prosperity in your health, you need prosperity in your mind, you need prosperity in your work, you need prosperity in all these areas. God wants to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. So you can turn your losses around if you'll start to obey God's word. You didn't even hear that. You can turn your losses around if you begin to obey God's word. Still haven't got that. That's going over your head. I'm going to say it again. You can turn your losses around if you start to obey God's word. I thought God was... No, no, no. You are going to do it. Not God. Proverbs 10, 22. Did we look at that? No, we didn't. We better do that one then. Proverbs 10 and 22. Proverbs 10 and 22. It says, the blessing of God maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, if you're a lottery fan and you do tax lotto and you could be very rich, because of it, if you win the million or 10 million or 30 million or whatever it happens to be. But I want to tell you something. The devil will add sorrow with it. And I can give you scriptures about gambling too, which you shouldn't do. We won't do that tonight. You understand where I'm going with this? Are you following what I'm getting at? See, money is a great asset. It's a blessing. But it's a terrible master. See, if you're at a place where you were saying, well, I've got this bill to pay next Thursday, and I've got this bill to pay next Friday, and I've got this bill to pay the following week, your money's controlling you. Now, I'm not saying you don't pay those. Don't misunderstand it. What I'm saying is you're concerned more about what you've got to pay out than what you have coming in from God. So wherever your heart is, that's... Our heart oftentimes is, we got this bill and this bill and this bill. That's where we're constant. Lord, we got these bills. Now, thank you, Lord, that these bills are all taken care of, because I don't live in this economy. I live in your economy. I live from above. I don't live from down here. I don't live by what John Howard is saying or Kevin Rudd or whoever it might be. I live by what you say in your word. I'm living by the word of God. The Message Bible, Proverbs 10:22, it says this: God's blessing makes life rich. Nothing we do can improve on it. God's blessing makes life rich. Nothing we do can improve on what God is doing or on God. Now, God's not against money. He's just against money holding you tight. You can hold on tight to your money, but God is against it becoming the focus of everything that you do. If everything focuses around how much have I got and what can I do, and you know that offering time comes around in whatever church you happen to belong to, and you're holding on tight and you're worried about, well, the basket or the plates come along, and you know, it's not how much do you hold on to, it's how much do you give. It's the seeds that you sow are the ones that will grow. Let's say it again. The seeds that you sow are the ones that will grow. The seeds that you keep in the barn don't grow. They usually feed the pigs or the whatever. How many of you know who P.T. Barnum is? P.T. Barnum is the Barnum and Bailey Circus. He made this statement. He said, money is a terrible master, but an excellent servant. A terrible master, but an excellent servant. Now, we're coming near the end. Billy Graham, I like these quotes. Billy Graham said, if a person gets his or her attitude toward money straight, it will help him straighten out almost every other area of his life. See, a lot of things that we do or don't do are because of what money we have or don't have. Well, we'd really like to go over to Jerry Savelle's meetings next week, but I mean, it's a long way over to Blackburn, and that's gonna, I'm gonna have to put the petrol in the car, and I won't even, forget it. You're not even a Christian. Sorry, but that's how it is. Either God can take care of you, or He can't. I believe God. I trust God. We've lived this way for all of these years, and God has taken care of us. I mean, I've been to America 26 times and never had the money once. Just always come in. It's always been there. You know, at the last minute, Elizabeth says, you know. I remember very well, and I probably told you this story before, I remember very well that we were $1,500 short on a trip to go to America. And I went down to our post box, and I'm looking in the mail and saying, oh, Lord, you know, I've got to pay this tomorrow, so... You know, I need another $1,500. And when I'm down at the post box, my mobile phone rang, and it was Elizabeth. And she said, guess what I'm holding in my hand? I said, I have no idea. I was full of faith. I have no idea. She said, I'm holding a check. And she said, guess how much it's for? I said, I have no idea. She said, it's for $1,500. The young man came to the house. He had a check in his pocket. And it was already written out. And he said to Elizabeth, he said, have you guys got all the money for your airfare? And Elizabeth said, no, well, we're still waiting on a little bit coming in. And he put his hand in his pocket and pulled it. Is that enough? $1,500. Exactly what we needed. See, God will never let you down if you trust Him. I mean, I've gone to airline counters. I go up to the counter in America and say, I've got to get to such and such a place. And your plane, I've already arranged on this. This plane is canceled. It's not flying. And the girl says, well... I say to the girl, what are you going to do about it? And she said, well, I said, you've got to get me on another plane. And she says, we have no more planes going that way today, you know, to that particular place. I said, well, there's, you know, plenty of airlines along here. You can put me on another one. And she said, okay, she makes some phone calls. We go to another airline, and they don't even charge us. She set it up time and time and time again. We've traveled free. I mean, the blessing of God. God just looks after us. I don't recommend you walk up to Qantas counter and say, I want to go to New Zealand, it's okay. They'd probably look at you and call the security guy. But we need to change our thinking, and listen to me, and begin to think like citizens of heaven. Not thinking like citizens on the earth. We need to think like citizens of heaven. You remember our verses up here, Colossians chapter 1, it says, for he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The New Living Translation says, for he has rescued us from the one who rules the kingdom of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Think about it. God has taken us out from under the control of Satan. When you receive the Lord Jesus, you no longer serve Satan. You're no longer a servant of Satan. In fact, you're no longer a servant of God. You're a son or daughter of the living God. Now think about it. The servant really doesn't know what the master's about. But we know because he has told us. He's put it all in the book. We know what he's about. The King James says, he has delivered us. He has delivered. I'll write that word up. Some of you don't understand that. Here's the English lesson. What tense is that? That's past tense. Already done, not going to. When you received Christ, you received everything that you needed. Salvation is complete, it's not part. Jesus is not going to have to go back to Calvary again, hang on the tree a second time, die again for your sin or for your sickness. He's already done it once. It's a once for all, never to be repeated sacrifice. You don't need him to do that again. You just need to start believing what I'm telling you tonight. Start living out of kingdom of heaven. Start living from above. It's already done. Start to live in it. Start to enjoy it. Start to be a blessing. Start to bless other people. See, God just doesn't bless you so you can have a new car or a new suit or a new shirt or whatever it is. He blesses you so you can be a blessing. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants you to bless other people. Our heart has been for years. We want to bless people. We want to bless them. We have given away over the years so much material. I mean, books and CDs now and all the stuff. Normally, we sell these CDs at $5. But if you are good enough to come along to these meetings on a Sunday with us here, you can have these CDs for $2, which is just about the cost it gets for me to buy them. That's quite apart from printing them and doing all the rest of them. So if you want them, you can have them. There's four of them there. That's all we got. I can do more. It's not a problem to do more. But if you want one, they're there. Take it, use it, share it with someone else. Tell them to come along. See, we want to be able to pray for you. We do pray for you all. I mean, I know everybody who's here. I've had some contact with all of you at some stage or other, I guess. And so when we pray about you. We pray about these meetings. We try to name you. We think of, oh yes, when I pray, I'm looking, I see, I can see Tina, I see, and I'm praying for you. In my prayer time, I see where you're sitting. And then next week, well, you know, when we come again, I'm looking, I take a mental picture of it, and I remember where you were sitting, and and Gemma was there in Russell. So, and we pray for you. You pray for every day. Think about that. See, you need the prayer, and I need the practice. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have a need tonight? Do you want us to pray with you tonight about anything? Praise the Lord. We prayed about your hands last time we saw you, didn't we? Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Well, God doesn't do any half jobs. Praise the Lord. Receive the wholeness of it. Hallelujah. It just reminds me about it. I'll give you a little testimony. On one of my trips, I went to New Zealand. and I was doing a pastor's conference. And when I was doing this conference for these pastors in New Zealand, there's about 50 pastors in this conference, God gave me a word of knowledge that there was somebody there, a pastor, and he had a problem in his wrists. But I never had a word like that before, that somebody had a problem, and just thinking about your wrist. Yeah. And so I gave this word. I said, there's a pastor here today, and you got some problem with your wrists. And as I'm describing it, I see in my mind's eye, God shows me a little vision of him having an operation on his wrists. And I said, God's telling me you're scheduled for an operation, but he wants to heal you today. And this man jumped up and ran out to the front. And he says, I've forgotten what the name of this thing was in the wrist. Carpal tunnel, yeah, in both wrists. And I prayed for him, laid hands on him, held on to his wrist, and we got a letter about a month later saying he'd gone back to the doctor, and they looked at him and said, well, we don't have to do any operation, it's all right. See, God can do it. But it's listening and hearing and obeying. Yes?
Remember when you prayed for my broken fractured foot?
Yes.
And I got the doctor because I was healed.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the time.
Praise the Lord.
I take off the plaster and people heard over the phone I have a fracture foot.
Yeah.
But they could not believe because I didn't have the plaster.
Ah, yeah. Thank you, Lord. God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. All right. We've done enough tonight. Ian's going to just finish off and he'll tell you about a cup of coffee and so forth. If you can just put any cups into there's a bin just here. Just around the corner. Just make sure you put the cups in there. Don't leave them lying around because we have to tidy up when we're leaving. So it just helps us if you do that. Thanks, Ian. Just want to come in.
Good to hear the word and feed the spirit, man. Amen.
Amen.
It's good. So to think about that when you're lying in bed and when you whatever you've heard or spent time.